Habit and environment is a very potent thing for the mind. In fact, the mind is caught up in habit continuously and environment. Environment influences the mind and becomes a subconscious activity. That subconscious activity is always expressing itself until such time as you begin to discern your own thoughts, your feelings, reactions, and the superficiality of these things. And when you see how superficial they are, you begin to understand what the self is made up of. Then you will find that blaming, condemning, and so forth are nothing more but the reaction to a condition, or a thought, or an image, or a belief, or something that another person says. Your reactions are continually expressing what is in the subconscious. The subconscious and the conscious is not a separate thing. It is nothing more than a memory. That is to say, where your influences are now held, what you learn, what you see, what you think, and what you feel, and all your reactions, they become part of that particular portion of your mind which we know as memory, which we know as the past. Now, when you react to conditions, you're always exposing your subconscious. You're always exposing your memory. And it is the one who is able to discern with thinking and acting his own thoughts and actions is able to see how one is conditioned. But if you are conditioned yourself through habit, through environment, you will only be reflecting that conditioning. We will see clearly then later on how one is caught up in this prison we make by ourselves. But to be free from habit and environment, surely all we have to do is to understand the trap of a habit and environment, by discerning the superficiality and the futility of one's thought, feeling, reactions. Most people make an image of reality, at the same time condition themselves by their habits and environment, so they are still trapped in spite of their belief. Now we know perfectly well that there is a wonderful truth in the words that Jesus said. Even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. He was talking about the lilies in the field. I was up in Bulawayo. I met some of the so-called highlights up there. the Governor General and a few more of those people. And one chap says to me, "How do you address these people?" I said, "Address them? How do you mean?" "Well, what do you call them?" I said, "I call them nothing." "They're nothing?" When you know how they've conditioned themselves by their particular robes, their titles, and so forth, you will see God never made there. The lily in the field God made. And that's what Jesus said, that Solomon in all his glory was not really one of these. I said, "I don't call them anything at all." I said, "I stripped them of everything." And they pass through life, they condition themselves by their various things and so forth. But when the end of the life comes, these things are washed away, and they are no longer conditioned. They are just as they were when they were born. Their body is put into a box, and all the rays and so forth, and if they like to put their medals and everything in the box, they can do that too, and they can dissolve away with the body. But the spirit is the only thing that counts, and the spirit is the life of God that is not in any way conditioned. The individual condition themselves, they're trapped by habit, by environment, and by the conditioning. If you can realize that, then you look at everyone free, freedom from all that condition, then you have found the secret of it. When Jesus said, "Oh yes," he said, "Solomon in all his glory was never arrayed like one of these," I know how true it is. The greatest thing in the world is that creativeness, that life creativeness within us all. But before it becomes even an apparent reality to each one of us, we have to dissolve away most of the rubbish which we surround ourselves with. But it is truly a fact that once you find that source of life, and you see everything through the eyes of life, through the feeling of life, through the understanding that life is the only creativeness. Life is free and is not adorned by anything whatsoever. Then you are free. Feeling of freedom, a feeling of expression. And therefore you can love your neighbor as yourself. But there is no relationship between one another if one is up there and the other is down there. Or if you look up or if you look down, there is no relationship whatsoever. There can only be one relationship between you and me and everyone in the world, and that's the relationship of the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. Now, it is not an idea that you have to carry on your mind regarding that. It is when you empty your mind of all things, of all conditioning, then that is revealed completely. That is the essential thing in your lives. Is it not so that most of us talk about God as if he were separate from ourselves? We look for God away in the distance. It is the recognition of the divine in man's own consciousness that makes God a living reality now. But before this realization comes, we must give up following another. We must be aware, moment to moment, of our own conscious thinking and the influence of the unconscious with all its accumulations. The unconscious, or the memory, is accumulation. The accumulations of the past, your experiences, your conditioning, your beliefs, your environment, your habits, all these things become part of the unconscious. And it is the accumulation of a lot of rubbish. But you are influenced by it. Why? For the simple reason that it stands as a bar or stands there as something that prevents the expression of reality. Now, what is in the unconscious or the subconscious, no matter what you call it, all it means is what you have accumulated, you believe to be true because you have thought it once true. Therefore, if anybody says anything to you in regard to another subject or object, and you have acquired certain facts about this thing, whether your facts are right or wrong, you'll immediately have a reaction. Now, immediately you have a reaction to that, what the person says to you. That is not understanding. It's not understanding what he says because you're not considering his view. All you've got is that you have a complete reaction to your own accumulation. And immediately you begin to see that, then you will listen. But how do you listen? You see, even when I'm talking to you, there may be sometimes, more or less, that it will not sink in because there is something there preventing it. But I don't want you to sink in. I don't want you to listen as fact that you're going to absorb what I say to you. And I don't want you to listen to think about whether it is good or bad or indifferent. But to listen in such a way that you begin to understand yourself, your own accumulations, that which you have gathered together, made up in your mind. That's what I want you to see. And when you begin to see how false most of the material you have in your mind, then it will drop away. When this is understood, we will know how we are conditioned. Through this self-knowledge, this conditioning ceases. And when our conditioning ceases, there is reality. Now, the extraordinary thing is that the truth is so very simple, that you don't create reality. People think that they create truth, but no one creates the truth because no one knows what the truth is. You only know what the false is. You only know what you've made up in your mind. You only know what you see, hear, and think. You only know your own reactions. You only know the things around you. When you begin to understand the relative and know the relative of what it is, then truth will reveal itself. You don't make it. You don't create it. It's a livingness. It's a living reality at this very moment. And from moment to moment, it's a living reality. That is the great truth. You do not know what it is, but it's a living reality. It's the expression of the eternal, intelligent action of the infinite creativeness. I and that are one. Now, how do you arrive at the conclusion, which is really not a conclusion, but you arrive at the truth that you are one with this great, mighty force? You can only have an idea of it if you are thinking of it beyond yourself, that is, outside yourself. But you'll know it if you empty your mind of all the things that you knew or you thought you knew about it. And then, when that mind is completely emptied of all your views, your beliefs, there is reality. You do not create it. It's a living expression of itself. That is free from conditioning. It does not adorn itself with anything. It is free. It is the truth, the living truth. And you and I cannot exist except we exist in this living truth. When our conditioning ceases, then God begins to work in us. And that work never ceases, but goes on expanding into more and more radiant form of beauty. The unhindered expression of reality is love, wisdom, and power, and is beyond time and space, the deathless and birthless being, the never-ending expansion from within. This is the glorious truth, which is not an imaginary thing, but a natural livingness of life itself. It is the Father, whoever remaineth within me, is performing his own deed. When I see those words and read those words sometimes, and through my own experiences, I know what Jesus meant. I knew that he had reached the pinnacle of that Godhead in man. I could see clearly that he had eliminated from his mind all imaginary ideas, all beliefs about the infinite. I could see that all the images about God had ever been created in his mind was dissolved away. And I could see nothing more than that particular life itself, so simple in its expression, giving expression to the infinite life itself as the Father doing its work. Father, forever, whoever remaineth within me, perform his own deeds. Yes. But it is so difficult for the ordinary individual to comprehend, because they try to make an image and look upon Jesus as somewhere afar off and look upon him as something that could never be reached. But Jesus gives us the truth so clearly. The things I do, even greater things shall you do, if you will but understand. That was the thing. If you could understand his mind, if you could actually see his mind clear of all that conditioning, and therefore he stood naked before the infinite life itself, and that complete nakedness and nothingness of the self, he became the greatest figure in all the world. Because there is nothing greater than the creativeness of the infinite. Therefore, do not condition yourselves by thoughts of other people, by believing that they're better than you because they have a title and they have rank and this and that. For heaven's sake, get that out of your minds, because it doesn't exist at all in reality. It's a falseness, and you must see the falseness of these things so you will not condition yourselves in that way. Be free, entirely and completely. It's a wonderful truth, it's a wonderful feeling, this freedom. This freedom, this understanding of the oneness, the wholeness of life itself. Where it is in itself, in its glory and its greatness in everywhere, and there is nothing greater than it. You don't have to put on a cloak or a title or anything else. That is all false and rubbish. Get down to the essentials, that essential thing in your own livingness, that livingness that is an expression of the infinite, then you will be free. no condition in yourself, no longer wondering looking up or looking down, because you'll neither be a pessimist nor an optimist. You will know that the living Christ is the only great, wonderful truth for mankind. And if the whole world was the same, if the whole world came to that one conclusion completely in that particular thought, that here is the completeness of everything, the wholeness, and that is the only reality in every human being, then we would not be put into various pens. We have a pen here and a pen there, one religion here and one religion there. So the whole human family become like sheep, forced into one pen and into another and so forth, divided into different forms of religions, different forms of society, and these pens are the illusion that man thinks are great. If you can see the falseness of these things, you will drop away from them, and in reality you will find the tremendous truth. I and the Father are one. But you can't say that. If you build yourself up in some way or another, if you build a false foundation, what you're standing upon, it's only an imaginary thing. The germ of the new heaven, the new earth is maturing, and now only waits, as St. Paul says, for the manifestation of the sons of God to follow up the principle of evolution into a further expansion of the glory yet to be revealed. Man's true state is realized through the truth of his being, now, firstly in the individual and then in the race. It is the understanding of relationship without condemning or identifying ourselves with something external, or merely using our relationship as a means of escape for ourselves, that reveals our being. If we identify yourself with anything external, you're losing reality, because reality is not something you make up in your mind. When you worship an image or an idol, you are worshipping something that is idolatrous, because everything in the mind is idolatrous. But if you begin to see clearly what is idolatrous, then you will stop worshipping images, ideals, and ideals. You'll stop worshipping images and so forth that's supposed to represent something external to yourself. A God external to yourself is no God at all. It does not exist. The only God, the living presence of the God, is that living presence that is eternal now. And it cannot be yesterday or tomorrow. It is absolutely now, at this very moment. That is the livingness. That is the eternal. There your power lies. There the truth lies. The power of the truth is enormous. Relationship is a mirror in which I can see myself, but to see myself directly is very unpleasant. So I try to avoid it. But without relationship, there can be no life, for nothing can exist in isolation. Yet all our efforts are towards becoming isolated. Herein lies the conflict. The trouble in the world today begins in us, through our desire for isolation. Are we not always trying to isolate ourselves? Look around the world today and you will see every nation is trying to isolate itself. Every individual, every group is trying to isolate itself. But there can be no isolation in reality, because there is none. There is no division. The indivisible cannot be divided. Therefore, there can be no division in reality, and there can be no isolation in reality. It is a figment of the mind. It is nothing more than a fabrication of the mind. And where does it lead us to? It leads us into a morass of separation, where we are all struggling, becoming antagonistic to one another. I told you the other night, did I not? We're trying to have a peace now. We're trying to make peace. We never make peace. There is no such thing as making peace. And the individuals are trying to make peace. But if they make peace because there is war, there is no such thing as peace. You cannot make peace out of war. That's a certainty. You cannot get wisdom out of ignorance, can you? Neither can you get peace out of war. We must only see how false war is, how stupid it is, how senseless it is, and all the things that is attached to it. Once we see these things and they dissolve away, then there is peace. But you cannot create peace because there is war. That's a senseless thing, it's stupid, and because it cannot be done. And there can be no peace. Even if you make peace, it will not be a peace. It will be a temporary lull in a state of war, that's all. Because we are still in a state of war, and after the peace we make, we'll still be in a state of war. There'll be no longer peace. We must completely see the falseness, idiotic state man's mind is in. We must see what the self is. We must understand what isolation is. We must understand all the things that is preventing peace. Then we will have peace. If our leaders today had sense, had knowledge, had wisdom, but they haven't. They're totally and completely ignorant of self-knowledge, of understanding. Therefore, we will still be like the blind, led by the blind, and we all fall into the ditch. Relationship for most people is a process of self-isolation, self-enclosure, which breeds friction. And with friction comes pain, suffering, unhappiness. So we want to run away. We want to follow someone else to find release. We try to live in the shadow of another, or in a monastery, or in a philosophy, which further conditions us. So if you try to run away from the conditions in which you're surrounded, and you go into a monastery and isolate yourself, does that help the world or help you? If you study a philosophy and think that in the philosophy you will find release, you'll find happiness, you'll find an escape, no, you cannot. How is it then you cannot find an escape? Because you have not discerned the cause of isolation, the cause of friction, the cause of antagonism. If you learn the new what the cause of antagonism were, you could live amongst those who are antagonistic. You could live amongst those who are living in friction. And by your own expression, by your influence, you can help only when you have recognized and realized and actually understood the cause of friction and isolation. The man who knows does not run away. The man who is not afraid to look into himself does not run away. He looks into himself and sees himself as he is, all the nasty things and everything about it. He sees the whole conglomeration, yet he does not condemn. He does not recognize or what we will call identify himself with it. He sees these things belonging to the self. Because he knows the self is nothing, and he sees how he has been conditioned. Therefore, he can stand among those who are conditioned and still be free. Think in your own mind. There was Jesus, completely and absolutely free from conditions. He was completely unconditioned. He could go anywhere, be anywhere, do anything, and he never in any way reacted. Because why? Because he had no accumulations. Accumulations of the relative. Accumulations of hate, anger, jealousy, accumulations of all the things of the past, accumulations of these things that most of people react to because they are conditioned by themselves, conditioned by their thoughts, their belief in their own importance. A person who is very important and believes that he is important, you can very soon see how he is conditioned, because immediately you say something against him, he rises up like that because he is conditioned. Therefore, he has accumulated the condition brought about by his stupidity, by not knowing the truth. Unless you see the nothingness of the self, you will be conditioned. These things are all the same because they are merely escapes, because we want to avoid seeing the cause which is ourselves. But the running away only creates further misery and confusion. Our relationship is the mirror in which we can see ourselves clearly. To see clearly, there must be no condemnation, no acceptance, no resistance, no justification or identification. There must be a complete impersonal view taking of the whole thing, looking at it as you would look at a flock of birds coming into view. They come into view, you see them, they pass, they leave no trace. Cross the windless sky, that's exactly the same thing that should happen to you. Your mind should be in that state of tranquility. The things that come across your mind, you see them, they pass, they go, they leave no trace. All these things then should pass through your mind in the same way. And by doing so, you do not identify yourself with them. Then there's a freedom comes. You only have to experience this to find how wonderful it is, because you will know what is false. Then when you know the false, the true reveals itself. You do not create the true. The true is now. Jesus says, I am the truth. I am the life. He didn't create the fact that he was the life, that he was the truth. He knew he was the truth. He knew he was the life. But you can only know that too when you have cleared from your mind all that is conditioned you. Now, I may be talking to you this way tonight, but it is necessary that I make this very plain to you for a simple reason, only to remind you of the false, not of the truth. I don't have to remind you of the truth because I don't know what the truth is and you don't know what it is either. But you know what the false is. And all I'm trying to do is to bring you into an understanding of what the false is. Then the truth comes of its own free will. You don't have to create it. That's how simple the whole thing is. Only when we are simple and freely aware, without conditioning, can we observe not only the superficial reactions of the mind, but also the deep hidden reactions. Then there is spontaneous release. But if the mind is conditioned, shaped and bound, there can be no spontaneity, therefore no perception of the cause of conflict. Therefore, if you do not understand what conflict is, how it comes about, you will never understand it. If you are prejudiced, you will never understand. If you have hidden reactions, you will never understand because you are conditioned. It is the freeing of your mind from conditioning that enables the truth to manifest, and no other way. There is no other way. I'm not coming here to give you an idea of truth. I want to take all these various ideas from you, so that truth, in fact, can manifest. We now see that no one outside ourselves can give us freedom from conflict and confusion. We try to hide behind a screen of words, follow a religion, lose ourselves in a book, etc., only to get lost in a maze of ideas of another. Yes, I get books given to me every day. There isn't a day past that somebody brings me a book. I look at it, I scan it, and I always see how they're always giving you ideas. Well, if I got to accept another person's idea, I'm only going to add to my own ideas, which is only piffle. But if I can see a book or something where it shows how to get rid of your ideas, then that's something I can grasp. That's something I see that is true. But a book is going to give me another idea of the truth is rubbish and nonsense, because an idea of the truth is not the truth. But the world is full of those books, people who write books about the idea of truth, and there's not a single word that's of any value to you. You're only adding to your own ideas, other ideas, and more accumulations which you must get rid of. It is only when we become aware of the process of our thinking, and from that which it arises, is it possible to understand and be free from that friction which we seek to avoid. Much of man's fears are formed by lack of understanding of the materialized world that surrounds it. It is not the phenomena of the world we must ponder over, but the power that lies behind these phenomena. For this will bring us to the indwelling life, the presence of the divine consciousness, which is the cause of all perfect objective phenomena. Unless we realize that the whole universe is a spiritual universe, we'll be lost in ideas and beliefs of what the external is. The whole universe can be nothing else but a spiritual universe because it has a spiritual foundation. If the infinite is the infinite, and there can be nothing outside the infinite, all must be infinite. Isn't that so? There can be nothing else but infinity. And if God is infinite, he must be everywhere. There is nowhere he's not, and he must be the foundation of all creation. So the universe must be a spiritual universe and nothing else. And when we begin to see that, we will begin to see the truth that form itself is only an expression, and it comes and it goes, it disappears. But the substance out of which it arises, and the substance which is the foundation of form, remains eternal and stable. That very life in you and me is that which is eternal and ever-present. The substance out of which everything is created is an eternal substance, and it has that eternal state. Change takes place only in form. Science has proved to us clearly that there is only one substance out of which all things are created. They have postulated the name of a substance called ether. So science says ether must be the basis of all things. And through experience and through experiment from the scientific point of view, from our outside or relative side of life, we're beginning to enter into the inner. And as we begin to dissolve more and more of the grosser substance of form, we're getting into the inner realms of that form, or the basis of that form of which it rose. And as time goes on, we will get to the very center, that center where we are working from within out. So those who are working without in, and we will meet at the same place, and we will see clearly and distinctly, and we will say, yes, the whole universe is spiritual. Because it is infinite in nature, the infinite alone is the creator. There is nothing but his substance, his life, his consciousness, because he is infinite. There can be nothing else but him, because there is none other but him. Therefore, all is spiritual. But you come along with your ideas, and what you see and feel and think about, you create ideas of. And then you have an idea of something, but your idea of a thing is not the thing itself. But you can't see there. The fact is that your idea to you becomes a paramount thing. But unless you understand what an idea is, what a belief is, you will still be caught up in your beliefs and ideas. That is what you make up in your mind. What you make up in your mind is not truth. So the cause behind form is more important than the form itself. The indwelling life intelligence is the power behind all things, seen or unseen. This ever-present divine intelligence comes into being immediately, we become unconditioned. When Solomon asked only for wisdom, he did not condition himself, and in his freedom all else was granted unto him. For surely the divine is all that is. All that is thine is mine, and all that is mine is thine. Immediately you become aware, moment to moment, the indwelling life, the spiritual energy begin to work outwardly, expressing themselves in mind, body, and circumstances. Conditions are created by man himself through not understanding himself. He misinterprets what the senses reveal, so he reacts, conditioning himself and his thoughts, being the expression of his beliefs, his ideas, his conditioning leads him away from reality. So is not your thoughts, your expressions, the result of your conditioning? Think in your own mind. Think how you think. Think now what you say. Think now what you believe in. Listen to yourself talking. Be aware of what your thoughts and feelings are from moment to moment. And you will soon see how conditioned you are. You will be expressing your conditioning and nothing more, your beliefs. The cosmic wholeness which occupies every atom in space is ready to move through us when we free ourselves from our own conditioning. The fullness of its ever-increasing abundance is our complete joy of living. All is mind, and within mind all matter and form is but a manifestation of mind. A free, unconditioned consciousness is divine. Therefore, divine consciousness is the moving factor in man. Hence, the Father doeth the work. Without knowing yourself, merely to concentrate, to conform to a pattern, to follow a system, or try to quieten the mind through a discipline will only lead to further confusion. But when we begin to see the ways of our thoughts, without identification, as when you are observing a bird or something else, then, in that awareness, the responses of your conditioned state come to light. In that spontaneity, there is a discovery of yourself. And the more you are aware of the ways of the self, without justification, without condemning, the more there is freedom. And in this freedom, there is reality. So you try to quiet the mind through discipline, through concentration. There is no such thing. It cannot be done. The mind does not become quiet through discipline. The mind does not become quiet by force or by will. Try it and you will see that you're only creating a state of self-hypnosis. The mind can only be free and tranquil when everything that is false is dissolved away from it, when there is no conflict, there is no irritation, there is no opposites. Then in that mind there is freedom, there is quiet. It becomes quiet of its own nature because it is quiet. What is it that irritates the mind? Is it not your own conflicts, your own oppositions, your own beliefs, your conditioning? A person whose mind is always jumping like a frisky monkey, you know perfectly well that it's completely full of conditioning. Question after question is asked with senseless nonsense, which I often refuse to answer. Why do I refuse to answer questions? People think I'm rude, but I'm not rude. I only see how stupid the questions are, and therefore I do not answer them. I have been the same myself. I have asked questions so often to the master of the bed, I never got an answer. So I, in fact, know perfectly well that it is just the same. But you will do when you reach that particular state where you can see how an individual's condition, through beliefs, through ideas, what they read and they accept to be true, you'll see what the mind is made up of. Is there any use discussing the falseness of things? Is it not better for the individual to see how false these things are themselves? Then they will drop away. Then that which is real in itself, with its intelligence, with its wisdom, with its love, expresses itself. There is no intelligence in a frisky mind or a stupid mind. It's always caught up in conditioning. Intelligence doesn't express itself through a mind like that. Freedom does not come through the search of oddities, but when we understand the whole process of a conditioned self. That is when freedom comes. The flock of birds cross the windless sky. They come into view, they pass, leaving no trace. So should our thought be likewise. Then we shall know what the mind is made up of. In this knowledge we begin to realize that which is beyond, that which is love and wisdom and power, which is ever present and is not an idea or a belief, but a true livingness. Then that which is the projection of the mind comes to an end of itself, without being compelled or forced. Then there is silence, not the silence that is will, created by the mind, but a silence that is not of time, a silence that is there. There is a state of creativeness, which is reality. So that silence is not a Christian silence. It is not a Hindu silence. It is not a Mohammedan silence. It is not a Jewish silence. It is a silence that's got nothing at all to do with these things. It's a silence that exists itself in the universe as that particular complete silence in which the infinite expresses himself. In that silence, it's no longer conditioned by any belief. So therefore it is not a Christian silence or a Jewish silence or a Hindu silence or a Mohammedan silence either. It is just silence with no name. In this conscious creative state, sin and death have dissolved away, and life and immortality is brought to light. In this life, here and now. There is only one, and there can be no other but He. And to love Him with all our hearts, we must, of necessity, first love our neighbor. This is infinitely more beneficial to us than all our prayers, offerings, and sacrifices. What is use of sacrifices? What is use of offerings? Who do we offer them to? With the smoke go up in the sky? Love your neighbor. That is the greatest prayer. The offerings of prayers year after year has never taken the sense of error out of the world. If the teachings of Jesus had not been mutilated to suit the dogmatic and separatists, man would have freed himself long ago from imitation and belief, which is causing so much separation and strife in the world today. Good prayers are our acts, false prayers are our words. By their fruits you shall know them. It is not all those who say, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom. The kingdom of truth is within, which is free from all conditioning. It is not those who say, I see, but those who do, so that the world will be wiser for the transformation. It is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than one who has only learned in worldly knowledge to embrace the truth of the living Christ. That's the true interpretation of the words of Jesus. That's His word. Stated as in the Aramaic language, it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than one who is only learned in worldly knowledge to embrace the truth of the living Christ. This is great truth we must see. It is not intellectual reaction that is required, but the action so that transformation can take place immediately. Unless we can see that we are lost in a host of images that mean nothing, we'll continue to be lost in images and ideas that blind us to reality. So the blind lead the blind, and we all fall into the ditch. When freedom is obtained, you understand. You think purely and move fearlessly, even in the world of shadows. There is no more hindrance when you know all the accumulations are but memories. The word that was in the beginning is now, and is made manifest in the flesh. The flesh has no say in the matter, so the word remains immortal. And when the freedom comes, as I said, you can move in the shadows fearlessly, without reaction, because you know how you were at one time conditioned. And you can easily see how other people are conditioned, because you knew how you're conditioned yourself. But you will never see how another person is conditioned if you are conditioned yourself. But if you understand how you have been conditioned and have freed yourself from those conditioning, then you can discern how one is conditioned. Therefore, you can live in the world of shadows fearlessly. You don't have to run away into a monastery to escape from the conditions that surround you. You don't have to study a philosophy or hide behind a philosophy of some kind. You don't have to have an ideal to hang on to while you are still conditioned. There is the conflict, but most people have an ideal and are still steeped in their own conditioning. How can you ever get rid of your condition if you hang on to an ideal? You must see what the conditioning is, then you don't need an ideal. An ideal is made up in the mind. Reality is not made up in the mind. Reality is. Comes into being immediately you get rid of that conditioning. The consciousness of divine moves in the individual, and just as the planets are planned by the great architect of the universe, so the same activity is moving man, and there is nothing to fear. Man creates his own fears and hopes through his ignorance of the truth of his being. Most people unfortunately seek wisdom through books. They think they will understand life by following experts, by joining philosophical societies or religious organizations. Now, to know anything, to know truth, reality, God, there must be freedom. But freedom can never come through another, or through the conditioning influence of belief, or through a book. Jesus said, you search the scriptures and you think you have eternal life, you make a mistake. It is only when the conditioning influences of belief and the process of accumulated memory is understood that there comes a silence that is not enforced. And in that silence, there is the discovery of the real. In this discovery, we find there is only one being, and there is none other. Therefore, this being must be our being, for there can be none other. Therefore, I am, you are, the same being. There can be no isolation of reality. The kingdom of God is within you. In Moffat, translation, Proverbs 26, we read, honor conferred upon a fool is like a bag of gems laid on a heap of stones. Benediction. O Eternal One, I was made for Thee alone. My hands made to serve Thee. Thy love and wisdom express Thy nature everywhere. my eyes to see thy beauty, with flawless perception of thy creation, my ears to hear thy divine melodies flowing through all hearts in adoration of thy presence, my lips made to express the divine inspiration and kiss the mouth that holds thy love entwined, my heart made to respond to thy call alone that leaps from the heart of all in need of thy love. And now may my soul become the spring of living water, from which all who seek may drink of thy everlasting love and wisdom.